The man who made a success out of a game called Doom found that some other efforts are doomed from the start. He went on to become a central figure in one of the most disastrous chapters in video game history, which is how he became part of our series this week on memorable flops. Here's NPR's Laura Seidel.
Every creative medium has its oversized superstars, its Steven Spielbergs, Stephen Kings, and Madonnas. In the early 1990s, the video game industry had its first superstar, John Romero. Jeff Keighley writes about video games.
He was a rock star in many ways, one of the first sort of video game rock stars. He had the long hair that he'd keep in a ponytail. He'd drive the Ferrari. He'd, have the hot girlfriends.
John Romero's star ascended at id Software, where he helped create Doom. Doom made video game history. It popularized the first-person shooter, that is, a game where the player actually views the virtual world through the eyes of the character who's shooting.
It was a science fiction game, a first-person shooter, where you'd go into this sort of Mars installation and fight these demonic monsters.
First-person shooter became one of the most popular styles of gaming. Some estimate that as many as 15 million people played Doom, and it spawned a line of sequels and imitators. Romero became a media darling.
Romero really loved the spotlight, and I think the media ate it up because he was willing to do interviews. He was willing to talk about his lifestyle.
Romero made the list of Entertainment Weekly's 100 most important people in entertainment. Time magazine anointed him the Quentin Tarantino of the game industry. Basking in Doom's popularity, in 1994, Romero spoke with NPR about id Software.
All we really cared about was making really cool stuff for people to play and just games that we really want to play ourselves, you know, just the ultimate games that we want to do.
But Romero began to have creative differences with his partners at id, so he left and leveraged his name for millions of dollars in capital to found his own company in 1996, which he called Iron Storm. His new business was more like his Ferrari than the scrappy startup id had been. Pam Walford was hired to run the human resource department.
We were in the penthouse suite at Chase Tower in downtown Dallas. And they spent $2 million on the build-out, and we had a movie theater with leather chairs and top-of-the-line video equipment. Today's world, it doesn't make sense, but back then, it's like, hey, we got millions of dollars. Let's just have a party.
Romero promised he would create a game as extraordinary as his offices. It would be called Daikatana, the name of a magical sword. His company, Iron Storm, began a marketing campaign right away. More than a year before the game's scheduled release, an ad appeared in gaming magazines. A red backdrop with large black lettering proclaimed, John Romero is going to make you his b***h. Christian Devine, an old friend of Romero's who was hired as a writer at Iron Storm, admits it backfired.
It was perceived as just arrogance by a lot of people. And of course, the minute you set up that kind of gauntlet, then people are going to want to, they're going to be gunning for you. And they're going to say, oh, you're going to make me your b***h. Okay, well, let's see about that.
The foundation had been laid for a flop, says Neil Steinberg, author of Complete and Utter Failures, a celebration of also-rans, runners-ups, and never-wers. The two essential ingredients, a history of success combined with arrogance.
If you have arrogance, it makes the flop puff up. We love nothing more than to see the hottie brought down.
Rumors began to circulate about problems at Iron Storm, and the press, which had once fawned over Romero, had turned, and now it was ready to pounce. On January 14th, 1999, the Dallas Observer published an article based on internal emails that had been leaked by former employees to reporter Christine Biederman. Biederman saw evidence of a company out of control.
That's what I saw in the emails that really got me. There is no way this thing is headed for failure. I mean, I think their burn rate at one point was $900,000 or $1 million a month. It was outrageous.
Chaos prevailed at Iron Storm. Romero's game wasn't quite working, and its release was delayed again and again. And that became a problem, says former human resource manager Walford.
The technology started getting old. That's what happens when the games go so long, is the technology evolves so quickly. Your game is going to be outdated. And that's a big part of what happened to Daikatana.
With each delay, the cost of the game went up, meaning it was going to have to sell really well to even recoup its costs. On May 23rd, 2000, Iron Storm finally released Daikatana. The plot goes like this. A martial arts teacher named Hiro Miyamoto, the descendant of a great swordsmith, is approached by an old man who says the Daikatana a powerful sword created by his ancestor, has fallen into the hands of the evil Mishima clan.
The Daikatana is still just a sword like any other, right?
Wrong. Legend has it that the Daikatana contains many secrets. Even the ability to warp time and space.
Players move through four different historical eras, searching for the Daikatana. Reviewers pounced on the game with headlines like, "Yup, it stinks, I played Daikatana and my brain still hurts," and "Blast, stuck in the past." The game had technical problems and some elements reviewers found just plain silly. In level 1, Hiro is confronted not by vicious warriors, but by killer frogs and oversized bugs. Romero's good friend and former writer for the game, Christian Devine, admits it didn't quite work.
The game should have started with a bang, because the designs were amazing, and everything they had set up for the game was really cool, and ended up being mosquitoes and frogs. So somewhere, something went horribly awry.
John Romero couldn't comment for this story because he's bound by legal agreements not to talk on the subject. Since the failure of Daikatana, Romero tried to start another company, which recently closed, and he just left a job at Midway Games. Flop expert Neil Steinberg says some may laugh at Romero, but the truth is great successes usually happen to people who are willing to try the impossible.
You only have one life, but most people, they take that life, they put their money on the safe bet, and they do pretty well. Other people, they decide, you know what, I'm going for it. I may weigh 300 pounds, but I want to dance in the Joffrey Ballet.
Steinberg says he wouldn't write Romero off just yet. It is possible to recover from a flop. That is, if Romero has learned a lesson right in the dialogue of his own game.
Don't bet on it, Mishima. Your own arrogance will be your downfall.
Laura Seidel, NPR News, San Francisco.
We'll continue our team coverage of failures tomorrow. We'll hear how some Hollywood filmmakers coped with their flops. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Susan Stamberg.